April 18th, 2020 session of TeamSpeak for OpenHPSDR. My name is Dave, KV0S, and this week I've been doing a little programming and some teaching online, but interesting thing, I sat down earlier in the week and was writing a program to deal with GPS coordinates and such. And today I was looking around, going back in to find Bill's code that was for a Penelope Whisper Beacon. And I found some code I wrote back 9 years ago, which was very similar to the code that I wrote last month. So, yeah, sometimes you forget things that you already had. So anyway, next on the list, we have Greg, ZL3IX, shown as mic muted. And then we have Henry, PA0HJA, shown as away in recording. And then we have Mike, AA8K, shown as mic muted and recording. And we thank Mike for posting the TeamSpeak sessions to tsarchive.openhpsdr.org. Next is Phil, BK6PH. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks very much, Dave. Good morning, good afternoon, Bill. Not much to report. I got the message that the Friedrichshafen Hamfest has been closed, which is no real surprise. So now I've got to try and cancel my bookings and see if I can get some refunds. So fingers crossed for that. Not a lot to report. Been very, very busy working this week, and I've never had so many Zoom and video conferences in my life before, but good to keep up with work colleagues and customers and a lot of the family that way. What else to report? Nothing really much. There's quite a few people being home-based now are using their radios, and they've picked up some old equipment, or relatively old equipment, some of the Atlas-based equipment and Hermes boards, and I've been helping up a few people get those running. But touch wood, so far we've managed to get everything working okay, which is good. And I guess on a more positive front, our numbers have dropped substantially now, and with the COVID-19 virus, and our schools open again in a few weeks' time, which is a very positive sign. That's the news from down under. Back to you, Dave.
Well, fine business. I have one quick question. Are you still going to give a talk in the Friedrichshafen remotely?
No, I'm not, I'm afraid, Dave. I've been so busy work-wise. I was going to go to Friedrichshafen but not present. So I haven't actually put a presentation together, and I'm afraid work is just so busy at the moment. I just don't have time.
Yeah, I saw a note from John Melton, so I was wondering if he was planning to as well, or Warren, but I knew the three of you were talking about going.
Yes, we'd all booked to go, that's correct, yes. I'm not sure whether Warren was or not. I think I'm pretty certain Chell's going to be doing a presentation.
Oh, I did see that on the list. There was a message from Chell. Anyway, next on the list, we have Bill, KD5TFD. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, folks. Yeah, I got nothing to report. Completely buried in work. And, Dave, I owe you looking at the wiki on the website. I didn't get to it last weekend. I am hoping to be able to take a look at it this weekend, though. So that's it for me. Back to you.
Fine business, Bill. And, I'm having fun looking through your old Penelope Whisper code. So I was able to find it and have it to look at. Anyway, then the last person on the list is Bob, VE3GKM, who's shown as away and recording. So that's it for the list. We're open for general discussion.
User disconnected from your channel.
I may have missed it at the beginning. What are you doing? What's got you looking at the old Penny code, the Whisper Beacons?
Yeah, I just thought, I thought about it, and I thought, well, I know what it's doing, and I remember you saying that the changes that you had to make were quite small, and I thought, well, that might be a good little FPGA project for me to to pay attention to and see how you did it. And then I remembered I had written a program that you could put in a call sign and a grid cell, and it would then generate the binary that you could then just put into the code. And it was called Griffin. And then I realized that was 9 years ago.
Yeah. That program might have been in Rex, actually, which is also interesting. Yeah, it was a good lesson. Well, I learned at least one valuable lesson on that is ripple adding takes a long time.
Yeah, I can understand. Bill, you've got a little hum on your transmit, so I don't know if there's a motor running behind you or if that's in the software.
There's audibly no noise here, but it wouldn't surprise me because I think this headphone cable is running past some dongles for the Mac, which have Ethernet and other high-speed signals on them.
Well, I have a GPS that I'm playing with on my desk, and I keep getting messages that the RF signals are strong. So I have a number of wireless keyboards, and I'm wondering if they also make noise, but seem to on the GPS, but I don't hear it on the recordings.
Yeah, well, Phil messages me that it sounds like AC hum, whatever Mike says it sounds like AC hum, but yeah, it could be. I know I also get AC hum in my, I have a phone headset, and every time I touch the overhead lamp, it goes hum, 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 so yeah, I probably have to pull this out and see if I can fix the cabling a little better or something.
Just thought I'd mention it so that you can fix it. And I'm sure if you listen to Mike's recording, you'll hear what it sounds like.
Oh, goody.
Say, Bill, you're right. There are some Rex files in that directory for Penny Whisper.
Yeah, well, there's interpreters out there for it, but yeah, it's sort of an old one.
I also found a JPEG of what looks like output from a logic analyzer.
Logic or spectrum?
Well, it could be a spectrum. It's a square wave. It's three stacked square waves at different intervals.
That wouldn't be a spectrum analyzer. That would be a. That would definitely be a logic analyzer. Could be three different traces. I mean, is it an actual instrument or is it like an Excel graph of some sort?
It's a graph, and it has A reset, ink CLT 0, C0, and locked. And it's probably looking at what was coming out of the transmitter, I guess.
It shouldn't be, because what's coming out of the transmitter damn well better look somewhat sinusoidal, or at least a clever combination of sinusoids.
This says clock mult wave 0.
It doesn't show like a logo of a Tektronix instrument on it, does it?
No, it doesn't, but then I found a clock mult waveform.html, and it says sample behavior waveform for the design file clockmult.v, and then it talks about the locking and the different variables.
That's got to be something from Phil from a simulation showing a simulation run, I bet.
There's probably some helper file to get you started.
It does sound like one of mine, yeah.
It's not the level of documentation I've ever done.
Well, I'm not saying it was in the directory.
It just means I borrowed it. Or it could mean I actually tried to, I simulated the design, maybe. I don't know, but I was never, I did not have an appropriate appreciation for the simulator.
Well, I think this is going to be helpful for me to figure out what you did and how it works.
Yeah, I had fun with this because what I had done it with the, I mean, I had cribbed the code from the numerical oscillators and pulled, said, okay, we'll just take three numerical oscillators, run them at different frequencies, and add the outputs. And the initial thing I did was just simple Verilog code to add them, and coded that up and fired it up and looked at the output on a spectrum analyzer and was horrified to see it was, you know, a broadband noise source. And it took me a little bit to figure out what the issue was, or actually it struck me fairly quickly, but any guess what it was?
Actually, no.
You can't Verilog add 16-bit numbers together at 122 megahertz clock cycle because it's ripple adding, so it's still adding the last cycle while you clock in the next cycle, so you've essentially built a pseudo-random number generator.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that's a good thing to know.
Hence the use of the mega functions and learning about pipelining and things like that.
Dave, just be careful if you put multiple whisper transmitters on the air at the same time. Bill had explained the issue.
Yeah, and I remember Bill had them on constant transmit and got a little bit of feedback from the community.
I guess the ham appropriate term is, I think the response generally was, what a lid. I thought it was a great technological achievement, though. Look, Ma, three bands, one time, one antenna.
And one transmitter. Not only that, they were all synchronous as well, Bill.
Yeah, no, it was a nice experiment, and it showed what you can do with a software, broadband software radio you can't do with any other radio. It didn't answer the question of, well, why would you want to do that? But, well, I guess actually in terms of variable propagation, you could make the argument for, transmit on all of them. Something will get through.
Well, I actually used that on the direct Fourier conversion transmitter so that you could have one transmitter with multiple people transmitting simultaneously on the same band. So that was the motivation for that one, Bill, the fact we knew it would work.
Yeah, that's true. It's a nice demonstration, but I remember just smacking my forehead when I realized the ripple adding and the propagation time is what was causing my noise. And, you know, the spectrum analyzer looked like hash on the output, and it was one of those big differences between, okay, here's the theory and here's how it is in the real world.
That's always good when you say, I know this should work, but it doesn't.
Well, it's also a difference of thinking in software logic and thinking in gates and realizing that, you know, in the gate world, it's everything, you know, you have to account for the propagation and the clocking time.
Yep, it's all running at the same time.
And how easy it is to have multiple threads compared with doing it in C#.
Yeah, well, that also is, that's why there's a mega function for an adder.
That being said, I've got my cross-threading. In fact, I remember you sent me an example of how to solve cross-threading in C# a long time ago, Bill. I've used that and refined that many, many times now.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. Yeah, I should get you into Go one of these days where you can do little Go routines. That's a lot, seems more elegant to me.
How's the Tangerine project going, Dave?
It's going pretty good. Scotty's finally, I think having the shutdown has helped him focus on this. And so Dave Witten has built a magnetometer board, which the way he built it is you can put a board without a magnetometer, but you put it in with your radio, and then you can actually put the magnetometer. We've tested it on 100 foot of shielded Cat6 coax, and it's running I2C over that. So two lines for power, or four lines for power and four lines for the signal. And by working with the pairs, he figured out how to do that without interference. And then you put the magnetometer on the outer end, so it gets it away from noise sources in the shack. Okay. And so that's one element, and that's pretty much done. We're in the testing phase with that.
Oh, really good. Sounds like you're making very good progress.
Yeah, and Tom has designed the Tom McDermott has been working on the RF board, and he's got it designed, and we're waiting on Scotty's layout guy to get it laid and tested. And then Scotty's starting on the data engine board now, and John Ackerman's building the GPS timing one. And one of the things I want to do is get the INQ out of the, we've been looking at U-blocks, but we're trying to get the INQ off of each satellite so that we can actually calculate the TEC between the satellite and the ground, which is what the astronomers map all the time to show variations in the atmosphere.
Sorry, what's TEC?
Oh, you were going to ask that. It's, I had it just a minute ago. I'll give it, come up with it.
I was going to ask the same thing. Total electron content?
Yes, that's it. And that's what they measure. So if you have a GPS that has two channels, and some of the U-blocks do, you can figure out the phasing between the two, and that gives you something about how much disturbing energy is between the GPS satellite and your receiver.
Lots of hits on Google here for total electron content. Even Wikipedia talks about it. Wow.
So if we can find a cheap way to get the total electron content, we can densify the fields that produce the contour maps. And that would be in the timing. So that's one of the hopes that we can get out of the GPS unit. The other one is that we'll have a consistent timestamp for all the RF radio components we have, because they're going to basically be stored and analyzed later by scientists. If this thing gets together and is reasonably priced, it would greatly increase the information we'd have available for understanding variations of propagation. But pretty much everything we're doing is done at a few sites around the world, you know, a few hundred sites around the world, maybe even a few thousand. But those are all academic sites. And so this is to see, is there a reasonable way to get ham radio guys interested in helping with collecting this kind of data? And for your question, is a total electron content unit is 10 to the 16 electrons per square meter. Did I lose you guys, or are you busy reading?
Just counting electrons at the moment.
I got distracted, actually.
Phil, this greatly reminds me of the stuff you did with your ionic scientists friends in Australia in the chirp beaconing that you did off of the atmosphere.
Yes, I was just thinking exactly the same thing. And I mean, you can very accurately measure now the propagation time between two points. So just wonder, if, you know, particularly with chirp, you get a, I mean, I had a display which showed you in kilometers or miles, you know, how far the signal you were receiving was away from you. It's interesting, though. Very interesting.
Well, there might be some possibility for you to implement some of your I know you're busy right now, you were all excited about what you did, and then you are doing what you're doing now, this is back in the HF range.
Yes. I'm actually using that. I found a feature of the Chirp technology which seemed to have been overlooked, which improved its performance even more, and I'm now commercializing that. So, perhaps when I've finished that, I'll bring it back into amateur radio.
Well, it's something that you should pay attention to what's being done in the Tangerine project, because it's designed it's not trying to produce an HF rig for regular contacts. It's a different aspect of radio technology, and really trying to help provide more information about how the ionosphere affects what we hear and what we can and can't do with communications.
Yep. Understood. I guess there's, I went through this before, that it's really mainstream now. But so doing something which is different to what's happening in Main Street is certainly what grabs my interest.
Yep. Well, when we were building the Open HPSDR, it was basically novel in the way that we were doing it.
Yeah, it was. It was like a lot of these things. I think Warren said, he found quote. I mean, a lot of the stuff I worked on, I found quotes back in papers back in the 80s. We simply didn't have that technology to implement it in those days.
Yep. And truthfully, everything that we're talking about in the Tangerine is done in scientific labs regularly. What we're trying to do is figure out a way to make it cheaper and easier to use, and you don't need to be a atmospheric scientist to figure it out. Mike sits there and listens to all this, and so hopefully I'm telling the right story, Mike, right? He records all the Tangerine SDR talks as well.
So, Phil, you said your schools are reopening or likely to reopen soon?
Yeah, they're definitely reopening. We've got school holidays at the moment, and I think certainly my grandkids go back about the 28th, so another week and a bit, but back to normal.
So you're just coming out. Is your school season, or what's your school year down there? Does it match the seasonal, or does it stick to what we have up here?
No, it's seasonal, so it's autumn now.
Okay, so you guys are just coming out of summer break or into the fall.
Yeah, our summer break's over Christmas.
Okay, yeah. Here, the schools are definitely not reopening until, well, at least in Texas, they don't think they're reopening until next year.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, our numbers are dropping, daily. So it's talk of restaurants opening, some other services opening in the near future. So we seem to be over the peak of the curve and dropping down pretty rapidly.
Yeah, and actually, when I said next year, I meant August, September, not January. Because the school year here typically ends in May, June, so it. I don't know that restaurants are likely to be open here. Well, I guess in some places they might be. Not sure I'm dying to get to one now.
No, understood. But it seems to have been managed pretty well here. I think we caught it quick enough and implemented the travel restrictions and cohabiting restrictions very, very quickly. So it seems to have paid off.
Well, good to hear that.